Whitman. Come on, everybody, it's coming. Whitman. You may not like what they have to say, but they're gonna say it anyway. They're the best cats in the town. Wow, yeah, yeah. Ain't nobody gonna put them down.
All right, it's Conway and Whitman live on 97.1 Free FM. Tim Conway Jr. and Brian David Whitman. Nice to see you, Whitman.
Timmy Conway Jr., look at you, man.
Hey, thanks, man.
I said it, man. Look at you, man.
Hey, I had an amazing day today.
In all this rain, you were able to...
Yes. Good. Wonderful day, man.
Good.
I spent the entire day with my daughter. She's 2 years and 4 months. Something like that. Oh, yeah. There she is.
Come October...
She will be three.
All right.
Yeah, she'll turn three. But we just spent all day. We went out to lunch together. We go to Mort's Deli there on Reseda and Ventura.
That's cute.
And it's connected to a bakery, so she always runs into the bakery, and the ladies know her, so they give her a cookie, and she goes back to the deli.
They have the really big cookies.
Yeah,
right. That. Yeah, that's fun.
And then went out for a walk when it stopped raining this afternoon. She jumped in puddles and got all wet and, you know, crap, and then came home and took every Kleenex out of every box in the house, and we just throwing a Kleenex at each other and stuff like that. Anyways, it's just an amazing day. I don't want to bore you, because I know a lot of people have kids. And you know,
no, it's not boring. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting because some kids, especially little girls, they're so, you know, they're like afraid of the rain. And but your girl, she's out there, right?
She loves it.
Did she listen with Daddy in the car? Were you listening to Lycus at all?
A little of Lycus, yeah. Yeah, and I got to get her to stop saying that, though.
Stop at it.
Dump that bitch.
Stop at it.
Oh, she picked
Sophia,
it.
Please.
She picked it up listening. Yeah.
You know what else she says? I gotta get her to stop saying. Don't F around. But she uses the whole F word.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you need to get to work on a couple of things. But anyway.
But it's cute. What the hell?
You're nice.
An amazing day. Yeah. Just the perfect day spending with just my daughter and hanging out. But I was talking to a friend of mine on the way to work. And I was telling him, you know, I had a great day, and I gave him like a 1 minute, you know, review of what I did all day.
A little brief synopsis,
yeah,
if you will.
Because he's got four kids, so he's probably heard it all. Right. So he says to me, he goes, yeah, that'll be over soon.
Oh, jeez.
I said, what?
What in the world?
He said, yeah, at a certain age, your kids turn on you, you turn on your kids, and you're just not into them anymore.
Are you serious?
Yes.
What a buzzkill for you.
Yeah, I said, is that right? I said, what age does that happen? He said, well, he goes, it's different for everybody, but for him, it happened when the kids started going to like junior high.
Right. Now, let me ask an important question of you, Tim, and of parents, because I'm not a dad. I'd like to be one day, but is it you, the parent, who turns on the kid, or is it the kids who turn on their parents?
I don't know. I think it's a combination. I think, you know, when they start effing around and you start swearing at them like a sailor, I think that starts to affect them.
Right, because there's no doubt, like I can remember for a brief time during my teenage years, you know, relationship with mom and dad can be more adversarial than it was before you were a teenager and certainly after your teenage years.
Oh, right, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So there's that trouble spot, but I think there's earlier as well. I mean, your daughter is two, and you're jumping in puddles and going to Mort's Deli and all of that. At five or six or seven, she might have an ability to push your buttons and irritate you. In that sense, you would turn on her, basically?
Well, probably, yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, if anybody irritates me, I turn on them.
But
she has, she's great. She, you know, she talks, and she's like living with an adult. She's a very smart kid. I have no idea where she got it. Because the Conway family is not known for their noggins.
Well, they're not dumb either. She has smart parents.
Yeah, she's got a smart mom. But anyway, so I wanted to ask the audience, if you got kids, when did you turn on them? Or when did they turn on you? What's that age where you say they're more irritating than they are fun to be with? All right? Here are the phone numbers. 520-9710. That's 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. At what age? And also, you had a great point before the show when I was discussing this topic with this young man.
When we had our pre-show meeting.
Yes. And Brian said he's kids run in a pack. they're like pack rats.
Well, they do. They're like pack animals, really.
Yeah. So if one of them turns on the parents, the others do.
That's right, especially if they're close in age. Because I remember when there was, you know, my brother Barry and I are about 2 years. Gosh, really, 2 years and 10 months apart. It's almost 3 years apart. He's older than I am, and I can remember if I got in trouble or if he got in trouble. And our parents were like pissed at, you know, me, or they, usually it was him that they would get a little more angry with. I was always, I think, took it a little easier on my mom and dad. But there would be this vibe in the house. There was this us against them kind of, and it would go on for like a day, maybe sometimes a day and a half. But then something really nice would happen. Then my dad would say, hey, let's go play wiffle ball in the front yard. And that would immediately break. Then everything breaks and we're all one big happy family, and that we all call a truce, you know?
Right. Yeah. So, that happened in my family where once a year, my dad would take us out of school and go to Disneyland.
Oh, how nice.
Once a year.
What a great memory that
was. And I think he did it. Because he would say, you know, we're going to do it April 20th. And he'd tell us that in January. And if any of you misbehave between now and April 20th, you're staying home.
That's very effective.
Oh, yeah. You got 4 months of good behavior.
Well, I remember
but,
that.
But one instance, my brother, who went to Encino Elementary School there in right off of Balboa, he took itching powder that he bought at like a magic store, you know, one of those dumb stores that nobody buys anything. You just go in there and you look at, you know, the fake dog crap and the fake puke and the whoopee cushions, you know, the crazy, everyone, they sell black lights there.
Sure.
So he bought this itching powder, and during recess, he put it all over everybody's desk. So all the kids came back into class. They're all itching like crazy, and every one of them had to be picked up and taken home to shower.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they found out who did it. Mm-hmm. My brother did it.
Right. Okay.
So my dad said to my brother, because he had to go get him. He was suspended for 2 days for doing it.
Yeah, they don't take that. They don't
and
take
by the way, if you do that today, in today's day and age,
it's
with
over.
All, you know, the anthrax scare and all that stuff.
George Bush is at the school the next day.
Yeah. The FBI is dragging your kid out of school.
Right.
So
George Bush comes with a megaphone.
Yeah.
And stands, you know, on the monkey bars and says, you know, we will find who put this. Itchy powder on these desks.
Yeah, you're out of here. He did that, and my dad said to him, he says, Patrick, he sat him down, he says, I hate to do this. I love you like a son.
Because you are.
But you're not going to Disneyland this year.
Oh, no.
All right? And I told you that. And so maybe you'll go next year, but you're not going with us this year. And I think he was in sixth grade, so how old are you, 12?
Oh, that's it. Must have crushed him.
Right. So we're in the station wagon leaving the house.
On the day to go. Oh, wow.
And he's sitting there, you know, like in the front door, and we're leaving. And my brother Jake says, wait a minute, stop the car. If he ain't going, I'm not going.
Oh, sweet.
Isn't that nice?
That is sweet.
And I'm like, oh, cool, more room for us.
So what happened there?
My dad took everybody.
Yeah, right.
You know, you can't do that.
I remember my a very quick story of, brothers or older brothers, you know, like kind of screwing things up. I remember when I was, we went to, my mom and dad, my dad's a retired New York City police officer. My parents, you've heard me talk about my mom and dad who have passed away. But my dad was a New York City police officer who probably made, my gosh, in the 70s and 80s, could it have been $35,000, maybe $40,000 a good year? I don't know.
Right.
He supplemented that income by, you know, literally painting houses every day, you know. And then my mom went to work to be an office assistant for a chiropractor. So my mom and dad really sacrificed, especially now looking back, I realize, they sacrificed a hell of a lot for us.
Right.
And one of the sacrifices that they made was they wanted us in elementary school to go to private school, not to go to public school. So they sent us to a religious school, which was not really religious. But they didn't send us to private high school, but they sent us to like a private elementary school, which I don't think, you know, it didn't, you know, break the bank, but it was an expense they certainly didn't have to take on.
Right.
But they wanted their kids to be good students. You know, they wanted us to be, you know, good at school.
Right.
First day out of private school is the first day in the New York City public high school system. And we went to the same high school, Tottenville High School, that my mom and dad went to. That's how Staten Island is. You go where your parents are. And in many cases, you have the teacher your mom and dad had.
Wow.
And this was the case for French. My brother had, I forget her name, it kills me now, but make it a much better story. I should just make the name up. He had their French teacher. And I was home, And I came home from school, and it appeared as if my brother had been home for several hours already, you know. And he's sitting on the couch. My mom and dad are kind of, you know, standing around him, kind of, you know, interrogating him. And I'm going, oh. And in my mind, I'm going, holy ass, it's the first day of school. I mean, it's the – so it turns out my brother found out, you know, how to say, like, F off in French or something. So first day, they're going around, and he said, you know, Miss so-and-so, you know, how do you – you know – what does this mean? I heard this, you know, and he says it. She goes crazy. She's an old lady, old French lady. She says, you're out of here. You're not just out of the class. You're home. You're going home. Call your parents. Get out of here. And so that was my dad had to go.
You know, first day.
First day.
Is that one?
My dad has to go pick up my brother get him home. Just unbelievable.
Jesus. All right, gang. When did you turn on those kids of yours? You know, when did they not become cute anymore and they're more irritating than they are fun to be around? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Let's talk to Mike in Los Angeles. You're on 97.1. How are you?
Hello, you guys. What's going on?
What's happening, dude?
Well, I'm listening to that whole story, and I started to fall asleep, so I'm sorry about that.
Right. F you, women, dude.
But...
hey, dude. F you.
Okay, thanks.
Well, get yourself some caffeine.
It was not a bad story. I mean,
it was a good story.
It was a long story.
No, it's a good story. Anyway, listen, anytime you got parents interrogating a kid on the first day of school, that's pretty good.
I have some real bad stories, and I've tried on this show to tell some real bad stories. That was not a really bad story. I defend that story.
I do too.
All right. Well, we'll go with that one. But I think, and I don't remember when I turned on my parents, but I'm sure they would remember. But for me, I have a 9-year-old, and 9 is the age that he's turning. Yeah, 9. And it's not bad at home so much, but he's doing it at school.
Right. So he's currently turning right now as we speak is the turn. The turn is happening now.
Yes. Mm.
You know, he might do this on you, too. I don't know if you smack him around at all. And I don't get down on you either way. But if you do go that route where you do grab him every once in a while.
Yeah.
This happened to a friend of mine in the Valley where he said to his daughter, you got to go in your room and do your homework. And she said, you don't tell me what to do. And he says, yeah, I do. Go do it now. And she says, I don't have to listen to you. He grabs her by her shirt and throws her into her room. And says, do your homework. And
she, I grab him.
She comes out and she says, I'm calling 911. I'm calling the cops on you for doing that.
What a house.
He grabs the phone, dials 911, and gives it to him. Says, you think I'm afraid of those guys?
I was.
You don't think I could kill you before they got over here?
I was in the living room, I remember, with my brother and like a friend, like, Robbie Delgado lived across the street. He was over and I was sitting around the living room. My brother says, hey, watch this. Grabs the phone, old phone, 0, you know, rotary pot. Calls the operator. Goes all the way around. F off. Click. He looks at us, big grin. I went, no, I can't believe you did that. Ticks up again. 0 goes around. F off. Hangs up. That phone starts ringing.
Uh-oh.
And it's not a normal ring.
Right.
And it doesn't stop ringing. And it's like when a stranger calls. You know, you're standing there looking at the phone. And I said, well, you probably should answer the phone. You know, my mom's right outside, you know, talking to a neighbor on the front porch. I said, you kind of better answer the phone. It's not stopping. The ringing's not stopping. So ultimately, he answers it. And she says, I talked to an adult in the house. At this point, my mother walks in. My mother goes, what the F is going on in this house? My brother goes, yeah, the phone.
Everybody's cursing.
Yeah. My brother goes, a phone's for you, Mom. Hands my mother the phone. It was the first time ever, and I never saw it ever again. Have you ever seen a parent literally put soap in a kid's mouth?
It happened to me. My mom did that to
me. My mom did that to my brother when he called the operator and said, F you.
Yeah. And you know what? I got smacked because I remember my mom in our house, I guess I was like in sixth grade or so, and I was swearing up a storm. You know, I'd started earlier than that. And she caught me doing it, and she said, I'm washing your mouth out with soap. And she, you know, takes a bar of soap and, you know, washes my mouth out.
Oh, that's horrible.
And she goes, how does that feel? And I said, to be honest with you, it tastes a lot better than some of the stuff you cook.
Oh, God.
And wacko.
Oh, a slap?
Right in the back of the head,
slap on the back of the head. But, yeah, my mom, she held my brother up. His legs were going. I mean, I can only imagine what waterboarding at, like, Guantanamo looks like. But it couldn't look much worse than what I saw when my mother literally took the bar of soap that sat there by the kitchen sink right in his mouth. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I've sat there, you know, like the little brother, you get to see everything. But like, Mom, you've lost your mind, you know. This is inhumane to do to him, and he's screaming.
Oh, yeah. You know the question I always hated and I never understood when moms would say, do you want me to smack you? I'm like, let's see. No. Yeah. No, I don't. Not into that.
That was really the only time. There was a time my mom slapped me, teaching me to drive, and the time she put soap in my brother's mouth. But I have no other memories of her ever hitting us. I mean, they didn't hit us a lot, but I can't say we were never hit, because we were when we needed to get the message, we got it.
Yeah, my mom was like the Tasmanian devil, just spinning around hitting everybody. Friends, family members, she didn't care who they were.
Now, did your dad ever hit?
No, my dad never hit anybody and never yelled at us either.
Oh,
as
really?
Kids.
That's like my grandfather was like that.
He always did things very subtly, and you knew not to F around.
Right.
You know, I mean, it is. The silent guy does get all the respect.
You know, the guy that's
really calm. You don't want to ever see him blow up, so you sort of behave.
My grandfather used to say, we called him Pop-Pop. He's passed away now, but, you know, he died at 80 in his sleep. My God, what a life he had.
Wow.
So he used to tell us, you know, if he would get down on us, he used to say, you know, now this hurts Pop-Pop more than it hurts you, you know. And my mom would tell the story, he had three daughters, that he would yell at them, well, not yell, but speak sternly, because he never really did yell. He'd say, no, you go up to your room. And she'd cry because her daddy was mad at her. She'd go up to the room. And as my mom would tell the story, 15 minutes later, they lived in an old house. She'd hear his feet on a wooden staircase, you know, hear his feet climb wooden staircase. And he would sit for 5 minutes at the top of the staircase and ultimately come into her room and sit down on the bed, and she'd be crying, and, you know, daddy and his, and, you know.
Right.
And he would say, you know, that hurt daddy more than it will ever hurt you, you know. I'm sorry.
I never bought that.
I had to talk like that to you, you know, but he was a sweet, sweet man.
I never bought that.
No.
Let's talk to Ryan in Los Angeles, 97.1.
Hey. Guys, it's Ron, actually.
Ron, all right. Ron, how are you?
Ron, man.
Tim, I was in Miss Palmer's sixth grade class with Pat when he brought the itching powder to school. I got news, man. I scratched for days after that.
Oh, man.
And I know, and he bought it at the Magic, I think it was the Magic House or something.
The Magic Emporium or whatever that place
is. That was it, Magic Emporium.
How many students were affected, as you recall?
Quite a bit. I think the whole class pretty much got nailed on that one.
Yeah, I think the whole class had, everyone had to be excused early, be picked up and go home and showered. But I believe they also brought in, which my dad paid for, a cleaning crew to clean that sixth grade class
hours. You had to get every
like 8 hours.
No, I was sitting in a bathtub for probably 6 hours that day.
So his classmates didn't turn on him? Did his friends turn on him for making them issue?
Honestly, I like coming over to your house and playing his drum set, so I didn't really get angry with him too much. I thought it was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, it's. I thought it was. Trust me, it was a big deal around the house when this happened. My brother Pat brought in, and did he throw it out over all the desks, or was it just half? I don't remember what he did.
I can't remember exactly how it was.
I think he hit every desk, and, you know, I think like all 28 students in Miss Palmer's class.
Just sprinkled it?
And by the way, Miss Palmer, I'm not sure if she's still with us or not, but had sort of the same temperament that my mom had.
Oh, really?
And where she would occasionally blow up as well. Did you ever catch that, Ron?
She flew off the head. She grabbed me by my collar one time and picked me up out of the desk. I'm not going to tell you what I did, but believe me, I probably deserved it at the time. I just didn't know any better.
So she picked you up airborne? I mean, picked you up off out of your chair?
Chair, man. The woman turned into the Incredible Hulk. She just lifted me straight up with one arm.
I remember my mom being in a rather nasty mood in the morning and yelling at me for something. I don't remember what it was. Oh, I think it was I was wearing a shirt with a big hole in it. It was a Detroit Lions shirt, but it was my shirt.
Oh,
and
yeah,
a big
you've
hole
talked about that shirt. It's your favorite shirt, right?
So she said, "You're not wearing that to school." And I said, "Well, it's, you know, it's my Lions shirt." And she goes, "I don't give an F. You're not wearing that to school." So she was yelling at me for quite some time. Then I get to class, and I was talking while Miss Palmer was trying to say something. And I thought, well, you know, this is nice because I can come to school and I can relax for 8 hours with nobody yelling at me. And then the teacher starts in on me. And she starts giving me an earful.
Wow.
I get it from, you know, at 7 a.m. I got it from my mom. At 8 a.m. I got it from the teacher.
Well, I'm sure we'll find
out. Long day.
Somebody will call very quickly and tell us if Miss Palmer's around. Now, did you guys have like...
I don't think she is, because she was probably in her late 50s, early 60s.
See, I remember her husband had passed away before she did. And then, I work very close to Encino Elementary, and I went, one of my clients teaches there. So I think Miss Duhai's still there.
Yeah. All right, we're losing you, buddy. We thank you for calling and confirming that story.
All right,
take care of yourself.
Thank you, dude. You know, it's an amazing thing to do. If you ever have an opportunity, and I don't have it as much, and if people are from, like, New York, they're from the Midwest, they're out here in Southern California now, you don't have much of a chance to do it. If you ever go back to, like, your school where you grew up, or you go back to, like, you know, the church that you grew up in, it looks so effing small.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Like, you go back to that grammar school, and you're like, I was in here every day with these little tiny staircases. They look like little dollhouses. If you go into that building, it's really weird.
I was with a friend of mine in the Valley, Robbie Fox, and he ate some sour cream at his house, and then I looked at the expiration date, and it was like it expired for 3 months, right? Oh. It was like sour cream.
Oh, God.
So I said, dude, you're going to get sick from that. He goes, oh, what do I do? I said, take a shot of whiskey. Because it'll kill some of the bacteria. He goes, I don't like whiskey. I said, just do it. You're not going to like being sick. So he takes two shots of whiskey, and I don't like to see a guy drink alone. This is about 10 years ago. I don't like to see a guy drink alone, so I start drinking. This is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So he takes another one. I take another one. We both had about 4 shots and completely bombed. And now we're like, well, what do we do? We can't drive anywhere. He says, well, let's walk around the neighborhood. So we walked to a pizza place. Then we walked to my old elementary school. Right. And I said, I'm bombed. I said, let's go walk through my old elementary school. And he said, all right, so I run into Mrs. Buhai, which is a teacher there that I had for first grade.
Oh, how funny.
And she says, I said, well, hi, I'm Timothy Conway. That's what they knew
right.
me back then.
Sure.
And I went to school. She goes, oh, I know exactly who you are. Your sister Kelly, your brother Pat, and Jamie, and Corey, and Sean. I had you all.
It's amazing the memories they have.
And she's like, how's it going? And I said, it's going well. And she goes, you know, you guys both smell like whiskey. And I said, wait a minute. She goes, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You both smell like whiskey. I said, wait, this isn't a typical day for us.
Sure.
And I tried to lay the sour cream story on her, right. and she wouldn't have it.
She must have felt so well, what a rewarding feeling, you know, to having been your first grade teacher, to have you, a grown man, you know, come back 30 years later smelling like whiskey. I mean, she must have just really put her head on the pillow that night and thought, gosh, I really am contributing to society. I'm turning out some real great adults.
Oh, it's so great. All right, gang. I had a great day with my 2-year-old daughter today, but when do those days stop? When do your kids turn on you, or you turn on your kids? 520-9710-888-520-9710. It's Conway and Whitman. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.
Because hell is for children.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. When did you turn on those kids of yours? Gabriel and Azusa, you're on 97.1. How are you?
Hey, what's up, you guys?
Hey, dude.
Love you guys.
Ah, you're the best, man.
Look at you, man.
Anyways, yeah, I remember the first time I turned on my daughter. She was, she's 13 now, but she was between 10 and 11, living out with her mom. And I was going down there to do homework with her during the weekdays. And I get a phone call from somebody at the school, being that they had my phone number and all, saying that my daughter got caught by one of the teachers going around collecting money for a kid who had cancer at her school after the
Jerry.
Fact that the fundraiser was over for like 2 or 3 weeks, and it was a teacher that caught her because they had went to her house to try and collect money. And I guess they were going to spend the money like on junk food and crap. I couldn't believe it, dude. I thought she was an angel. You know, she couldn't do wrong in my eyes.
Of course.
Then I get this news, man. It was, what the hell?
She was so not quite the girl you knew.
Yeah, man. That totally. It turned my world upside down, man.
Did you have the conversation about karma with her?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I told her
times three, everything.
Yeah.
And for this, I think it's going to be times 20. Man, she blew it, man. I couldn't believe it. After that, man, I everything she told me was BS, dude. I never believe it again.
Right. I would imagine that, like, as a dad or a mom, you see them through a different set of eyes after something like that.
Yeah, and you know what? She could probably, till this day, doesn't have your full trust.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible.
All right. Hold on one sec, dude. That's a great call. We're going to give you a prize here. Shoot 'em up on DVD. uncontrollable prostitutes, and gun-loving assassins. That's a... Should be fun for you and your daughter to watch together.
Yeah, well, it sounds like the young girl who would, you know, that sounds like the inappropriate DVD for that child.
It's action-packed with your favorite, Clive Owen.
Oh, yeah, I love Clive.
And Monica Bellucci. Yeah. Bellucci.
Yeah, man.
Blatchy.
Blatchy.
What's his name again?
I don't know. Monica Bellocchi.
Belushi.
Belushi. Monica Belushi.
Monica Belushi.
Who's Monica Belushi?
Well, who do you think?
I don't know.
Probably related
to... No, because they could have just spelled out the real Belushi. I wouldn't know that pronounce.
Doesn't really matter.
All right.
Can you get somebody in here who calls horse races?
Ernie,
Jesus Christ.
All right, buy yours
somebody
today.
Somebody in here that can that calls horse races.
All right. Shoot him up on DVD. Go buy it. There he goes. Congratulations. All right, let's talk to... How about Tim in Redondo Beach? Tim, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Hey, you too.
Yeah, thank God it's Friday, man.
Yeah, listen, I was telling your screener. You know, if you notice, there's a theme here. Everything stems around these middle school age kids.
Right.
And I teach 7th grade middle school, so I'm in class with like about 35 every day.
It's not LAUSD, is it?
Yes, it is, unfortunately.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
But I was telling her that I was in the dean's office yesterday. I walk in there and... And Dean hands me, he says, read this. Kid's sitting there in a chair. Kid admits getting naked, playing drums, takes pictures, downloads them on his phone, showing them the girls.
So now you have to stand there and read that in front of the student and try not to laugh.
Yeah, I read it to myself, and then I look at him. He's looking at me, he rolls his eyes, and you know, I know the kid. But these kids don't have any fear.
Man. That's your kid that did that?
Oh, no, no, this is just a student.
Oh, I see. Okay, all right. Just a student. Oh, boy.
They have no fear.
So then it's, at some point, though, somebody asks the kid, right, whether it's you or the dean. I mean, somebody, you know, says to this kid, you know, what do you do this for? I mean, the conversation must be ridiculous.
Yeah, but, you know, they'll rationalize it, and in their mind, it's perfectly normal.
Oh, Bobo. Oh, man. You know, I bet, though, in seventh grade is a tough age to be a teacher in LAUSD.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Because I remember, I mean, even back, I was going to Portola there in Tarzana, and seventh grade is when you really start to really F around.
Mm. Yeah, you're like 12 years old.
Yeah, really hit it hard. And these poor teachers, man.
Doing sex ed this last week, so that was really an eye-opener.
Oh, sex ed you had?
Yeah, we were doing this past week. We were teaching in sex ed.
Oh, Bobo.
So, yeah.
Who teaches that?
They'll have a good weekend.
The health teachers, and I'm a health teacher, so we do it.
Yeah. How far can you go with these kids in seventh grade? What do you tell them?
Well, you know, pretty much we get a consent from the parent, and we go down to condoms and birth control.
Do you do a demonstration? I know it was very controversial. I'm not saying it to be funny, but, you know, there's like they'll bring a fruit or a banana, and they'll actually put a condom on. You do that?
Right. We bring people in from an outside agency, and they do that. And show them.
Wow. Now, if a parent doesn't want their kid in that class, the parent can opt the kid out of the class, right?
Yeah, we just put them somewhere else and have them do other stuff, and there's no problem.
Yeah, but those kids who are opting out are usually in a classroom having sex with each other.
There's a reason they're not in your class.
Yeah. All right.
On the other guys,
I can't believe seventh grade they do that. They should do that in first grade with these kids nowadays.
First is a bit young, but seven might be, 12 years old might be a little bit late.
But don't seventh graders know how to use a condom and know all about sex?
They do, but we try to teach them that. And then, you know.
Well, condoms are difficult. I mean,
difficult?
Well, no, I mean, I think I can speak for every guy listening. And keep the teacher on the line, because he's a grown man. If you're not honest, he'll be honest. Hasn't every guy had that moment where you're not sure if this is the part that you roll or the part that you put on?
Exactly.
Yeah, you have, right?
It's like giving a 12-year-old the keys to a car.
No, dude, it's not. No, it's not.
It's happened to
you. You can put it on one of two ways. One way is wrong, and one way is right.
Right, but haven't you had that moment where you go, oh, nah, and then you flip it over, and then you put it on the other way?
Yeah, you don't need a teacher to show you that.
Well, okay, but it can
all right,
be.
Buddy.
That's the reason you show them, because you want them to do it the right way.
Right.
All right, dude. All right, you take care of yourself, man.
Guys.
All right, Tim in Redondo Beach, man. There
he's
he goes.
Out there doing good work, preventing disease and all of that, teaching these kids.
He's having no effect on these kids.
Oh, gosh, don't say that to the guy. I mean, he works all week.
Well, I'm just telling you, sex ed in seventh grade. Either the kids aren't listening because they're like embarrassed that they've got to be there,
right?
Or they already already know what that guy's talking about. As a matter of fact, I'll bet most seventh graders could teach that guy, the teacher, a thing or two about sex.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, today's kids, they're hitting it hard.
Yeah, you know,
by seventh grade.
I did not have a teacher talk to our class or me about sex till I was in high school.
I mean, I was in sixth grade, and I dragged my dad's ass into a sex ed because it was father son sex ed.
Kid?
And my
Are
dad,
you serious?
Yes, I'm serious, Dougie. And I asked my dad, I was so embarrassed. I like, you know, I had knots in my stomach, you know, because how do you ask your dad to one of these stupid things? So I said, Dad, I said, will you go to me with this? I got to go to this class. He says, what's it about? I said, it's just they want to talk about, like, what's coming up with the school plays and stuff.
You lied to him?
Yeah, I lied to him.
To get him there?
Yeah, and he gets in there. He's like, uh-oh, what's going on here? Everybody else is with their dads. Oh, it's just the worst. I tell you, puberty is going through, like, you know, those teen years, man. When you look back on it, it was a great time in your life. But while you're going through it, there's a lot of mysteries.
It's totally strange.
All right. When did you turn on your kids, man? I have a 2-year-old that I completely love. We had a great day today. We usually have a terrific days. But I guess there's an age where you flip on them, where they flip on you. When are they more irritating than they are fun to be with? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710.
I think you probably, today as you've described it, Tim, you had like a storybook day with your daughter.
Yeah,
I think you've got plenty of those left before it turns ugly.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I hope I have a good daughter. Because if she does misbehave.
Oh, no.
I will grab her.
See, that's bad already. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to parent your child, but her listening to Lycus and, you know, saying, talking.
Dump that bitch?
Yeah. I mean, that's not good, Tim. I mean, I mean, it's your daughter, but I'd try to, you know,
get her to just say Babu, but she wanted to listen to Lycus.
So Babu.
She's picked up Dump That Bitch. All right. All right, it is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. When do you turn on your kids, or when do they turn on you? Robert in Los Angeles, you're on 97.1 Free FM. What's up with you?
My name's Alec. I got to set this up. My daughter's 12 years old. I have to fly from New York to see her. She was with my stepwife. And, well, she didn't pick up the phone. So I said, you fat little pig. You ungrateful little pig, and my ex-wife got a hold of it, put it on the media everywhere.
Oh, I remember that story.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I think we actually have the audio of that.
Oh, you got my audio. Wow.
Yeah. Alec, can I use your last name?
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. This is a friend of Brian's, right. Alec Baldwin.
Right.
Who went absolutely ballistic on his young daughter. Oh, we don't have it? Okay. All right.
But I think we do have, I think, a tape of him calling me at home, don't we?
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of his messages aren't like this. You know, sometimes he's very calm and sedate on the answering machine.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling.
Here we go.
Hey, it's Alec Baldwin trying Brian Whitman. I'll tell you on this other number I have. Thanks.
See, he didn't yell at me.
Anita in Orange on 97.1 Free FM. What's happened with you?
Hi, I have twin 8-year-olds, and my daughter first put me in my place when she was a kindergartner. We were doing homework, and as you know, that's the worst for parents to do homework. And I was trying to instruct her with her homework, and she said, Mommy, I am only a kindergartner. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm Matilda Hun.
That's when you should have taken her and grabbed her. And put her in a headlock until she was unconscious.
I love the way you put that, though. My daughter first put me in my place when she was in kindergarten.
Did. She did.
I was up in Oregon, and one of Jennifer's friends has a 12-year-old daughter up there. And the daughter slipped and fell, but it was her mom's fault. Like, mom accidentally tripped her.
Oh.
The 12-year-old gets up and starts punching the mom.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
And I thought to myself, if I ever did that to my mother, it would be Whitman and somebody else. I wouldn't be alive. I would have been dead. My mom would have been in prison somewhere.
Right, because she could have. She could have taken you and would have. I mean, the way you've described your mother, God bless
her. She'd smack you if you drop your toast on the ground. You imagine hitting her? Right. All right, hey, but all right.
You've made my new year. You guys have been hilarious.
Oh, Anita, you're the best, baby. Okay. Hey, hold on one sec. We're going to send you something too. Here, we got another gift. Shoot 'em up on DVD. With Clive Owen and Monica Bellucci.
Bellucci.
All right, Bob on the 170, you're on 97.1. How are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
All right.
Tim, you are a big stud.
Well, thank you.
Well, you
sir.
Know, that is the truth, sir. I mean,
talked to some of my ex-girlfriends.
Well, no, but before this show, Bob, I said to Tim, just a few minutes before we went on, I looked at him, you know, just from head to toe, not like in a gay way, but I stepped back. I said, you are a stud, man.
Yeah. I get that mostly from guys.
Well, no, again, it wasn't in a gay way, but I just kind of sized him up. You know, I, you know, size this dude up. Yeah. And I said, gosh, this guy's a stud. I mean, just look
at him. Exactly. Yeah. That's
right.
What I meant.
All right. Well, what do you got, dude?
Okay, man. My son just turned 12, and pretty much like you, Tim, I don't know if it's the same with daughters, but our best years were like when he was 2, 3, and 4. We were the best of friends.
Right.
It was a great time. And all of a sudden, he's got this attitude. He's in junior high, and I guess it's pretty much a natural, you know, progression when they start to hit this age. And now I'm just full of it. I don't know anything. And I can't wait until he's in his 20s to where it reverts to the old way, and we're close again.
Right. That might happen.
That's sad.
Hey, you know, Bob, it probably will happen. But the tough part of this is, like, when he turns, like, 14 and 15, he'll probably be as big as you are. And there's gonna be you're gonna come to a point where he can kick your ass,
mm-hmm.
Probably.
And that's always like real difficult for the alpha male, you know, for the when he becomes the alpha male, the kid does,
right?
And then he has his friends over, and his friends stink, and he stinks. It's like having a roommate.
Right, but my dad always said, my dad never. I can't really even remember my dad striking us. There was just those times I told you my parents didn't hit us really much at all. But I do remember my father saying to my brother and me, especially when we were at that age, and you know, we'd get a little hot, you know, we you know, like mouth off or whatever. My father was very stern, and he would say, "I brought you into this world. I swear to God, I can take you out if I want to."
and he could legally carry a gun.
Right? And he was packing. So I said, "All right, I got you, Dad. I'm not, you know." He goes, "I just want you. I'm not, nothing. Everything's fine. But I brought you in. I swear I can take you out."
You know, I asked my daughter, says she's picked up from me, and because I tell her this when she starts like crying or anything, I said, "Don't push Daddy."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't push Daddy. Mm-hmm. And now she says that all the time. Don't push Daddy.
Now she'll learn.
Like we're in a store, you know, I'm getting. We were at McDonald's, and I'm, you know, getting the food and everything. And I said, the guy was giving me my change. And I said, "Oh, it's a dollar short." And the guy said, "No, it's right." And I counted, I'm like, "Oh, I guess you're right. I'm sorry, it is right." Mm-hmm. And my daughter goes, "Don't push Daddy." Oh. It's like telling the guy behind the counter, don't push Daddy, man.
Wow, that's cute.
All right, let's talk to Jamie in Granada Hills. You're on 97.1.
Hello, sweet spirits.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, it's Kenny.
Outstanding. Listen, I was about 6, and I pulled that phone card, calling the operator, and
yep.
And the operator says, "Put your mother on the phone." I said, "No," and I hung up.
They called back, and at least in the late 70s, they called back.
That's right, and so I actually got away with it this one day, and because the first comment I said to her was, "Shut up." And so I ended up having a little friend or cousin or something come over. I said, "Hey, watch this." And I did the old shut up move and got the return call. And apparently I got the same person. And this time when I said no and I slammed the phone down, she starts calling back. Well, my mom happened to be in the backyard, and I heard her coming in, and the phone's ringing. I thought, "Oh, no, it's this operator. I got to get rid of this." And now I used the phone that was in my folks' room, and I put the phone on the floor, and I took the receiver off. I just left it there, thinking, you know, no one's going to notice this. But then I thought, well, at some point, my mom's probably going to want to use the phone. And sure enough, maybe 10, 15 minutes later, she goes to use the phone. The phone's dead. And I had to try to make up some, I was playing with my friend in the room, blah, 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 blah. I hung up the phone. And wasn't seconds after I hung up the phone, wham, it's ringing.
She's on you.
And I got popped. And so my little friend, you really can tell how close you are with your little friend when they turn you in. And because my mom says, well, did you do this? Did you do this? And my friend says, oh, he did. I watched it all.
Yeah, we used to do that when we were kids. And I remember I did that where I called the operator and, you know, told her to go F herself.
Yeah.
And then they called back, and my mom answered upstairs.
Mm.
And so she was on the phone with the operator for like 5 minutes, you know, which was a long time when you were a kid. And yeah. When she's done with that phone conversation, she just hangs up the phone and she goes, Timmy! And the whole house, like, starts shaking.
Rattling.
So I said, I remember that because I was like 10 or 11 years old. I remember, I'm going to make a conscious decision here. I think I can make it to the front door and get on my bike before she can come downstairs. And I was gone for about 8 hours. I just split to a friend's house and just, you know, stayed in his room eating Pop Rocks and
you were hiding
lighting
out.
Off lady fingers.
You were a fugitive. So whatever happened then? I mean, eventually you had to go home and face Big Mac. What happened?
Yeah. No, you get back, and she was sleeping when I got home. But then the next morning, she woke up and just hammered me.
Yeah. Right.
Just, I mean, all night I couldn't sleep. Because I know at 7 a.m. she was going to get up. She was going to have a cup of coffee, and I was going to get it.
And that's the Red Bird was ready.
Red Bird got me hard, man. Got me good. All right, folks, when we come back, we have the news with Robin, and also one of the world's greatest psychics is with us, Linda Salvin. Look at that, man.
Yeah, man.
She'll tell us a little bit about ourselves and about you. And this woman survived a plane crash. How about that?
Yeah,
good luck.
But, crazy.
So she'll tell you all about that when we come back. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.